But tonight we are privileged to have with us our own Pastor David Cisneros, who's going to be sharing with us. Yes. Letting us know what's been going on. As many of you know, he's been leading the relief efforts in Upper East Tennessee and in Western North Carolina from the floods last fall. Doing an incredible job leading that. Many of you have gone out. I'm not done yet. I need to be quiet, right? All that to say, he's going to be sharing some of it with us. He's going to be sharing the word with us. And before he does, as a lead-in, as you've already guessed, there's a video. So let's turn our attention to the screens.
Hey, Kevin Oshkosh, David Cisneros here again with you guys. We wanted to give you guys an update of what's taking place out in East Tennessee and North Carolina. So many things have taken place since we last shared with you guys about it. So we thought it was a good timing to give you guys an update. We've been going out there 2-3 times a week since then, since we began back in October. So many things have taken place. We last shared with you guys a video of three of the families that we've been heavily involved with there with the building back of their homes. And today we're gonna go more into detail of one of the homeowners, Ms. Melinda. Now she has an interesting story and a sweet testimony of what the Lord has done from the day of the storm to now, and how he's not only provided for her, protected her, and now how he is using her. For Ms. Melinda, we pretty much have done everything from the cleanup in the beginning after a group of people from a different church and firefighters actually went in and stripped everything. They did the demolition, mud out, and that's when we came in through one of you guys. The Lord, Mr. Robert, led us to one of the individuals there in Newport, and we got connected to Ms. Melinda. We started helping there from the cleaning out the crawl space, preparing the floors for new floor joists, subfloor, new walls. We eventually did the new electrical, plumbing, HVAC system, all new walls, insulation, the drywall, did the painting, the floors, trim, cabinets, so on. Everything's pretty much 95 to 97% done. Ms. Melinda is now in the house. Now, Ms. Melinda is interesting because she did not know the Lord before this all took place. It took 6 months of going out there, like I said, two, three times a week. And as we were going out there, we were sharing the Lord with her. We were praying for her every time. And that was the focus of why we were there, to share the love of Jesus with her. 3 weeks ago, as we were wrapping up some of the work projects, two brothers from the evangelism ministry were there, and the Lord opened a sweet door for them to minister to her and share the gospel with her. She accepted the Lord, and now she is a believer, a sister in Christ. She is raising 5 grandchildren, a widow. So please continue to pray for her and for the Lord to strengthen her and walk alongside with her, as we know He's faithful to do that. Thank you guys so much again for your prayers and how you guys have all been faithful to go out there as the needs arise. God bless you guys and have a blessed day.
Praise the Lord. He's so good. You know, I was just meditating today and even talking with a brother earlier. It's just how the Lord is working here at Calvary Knoxville and seeing really the fruit of the body being well-fed and loved. And that's Pastor Mark's heart, as you guys know, to be the best fed and most loved that we can be. So just know that you guys are loved, and seeing the fruit out there, so many things have taken place, and we really have seen just the Lord work in an amazing job using the body here, particularly with Ms. Melinda. It is an hour away. She lives in Newport. So it's literally an hour away from us here where we are. But to think about the storm that took place that night for her is really crazy because it's so close to home. For her, you know, she tells a story. I'm going to go ahead and give you guys pretty much the story with her and some statistics, because it really just puts it in perspective of what took place not too long ago and where they're at now. And then we'll get into the word, which is the most important thing, how it all ties back together. But for Ms. Melinda, she tells a story. She was in her house. She went to use the bathroom. As I shared in the video, she's raising 5 grandchildren, a widow. And as she was in the bathroom, she heard a loud thump in the toilet. Water started flowing up from the toilet. Two of the grandchildren, the young girls, were outside in the front porch pretending like they were fishing because, you know, it was a game for them. The water had come up like that before. It had. But they didn't know it was about to take place. Miss Melinda only had a couple minutes before the time she stepped out of the bathroom into the living area where the water was starting not only coming by her ankles, soon a couple minutes later found herself her waist deep in the water. The oldest grandchild started swimming through the back door seeking high ground and help. They realized time was running out. As the grandchild started swimming, a tree caught him and led him onto the church next door. He got stuck there at the church, in the tree, pretty much. The other three grandchildren swam up to a trailer, which we have a picture. They were standing pretty much on top of a covered trailer. As you guys can see in the picture there, they were pretty much stuck. The water was up high. They literally were stuck. Ms. Melinda, at this point, she was hanging on the back porch by the gutter and a cable. She tells a story. And she only had a couple words to say. Somebody help me. Somebody help me. Somebody help me. You know, and little did she know that not only was somebody going to help her physically, but eventually the King of Kings was going to answer that call and not only save her physically. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Not only save her physically, but more than anything, spiritually, which it's been amazing to just see as the Lord has opened doors, because we pray since the beginning, Lord, where do you want us to go? The need is so much, overwhelming. Where do you want us to go, Lord? We just want to make sure we're following you, are led by you to where you want us to go, and been sweet how the Lord, through the process, and as we see, as you guys saw the pictures, it might give the idea that everything was right back to back. Everything went, every day we were out there. It really was just a process of timing, the Lord's timing, patience, sweat, blood, and a lot of prayer. So as we look at some of the statistics for Hurricane Helene, you know, it was last September 26. It, crazy enough, it has been the deadliest hurricane after Katrina, and with 249 fatalities. Put it in perspective, there was 175 deaths that were direct deaths, and the other 73 were indirect deaths. Some of the states affected were Florida, Georgia, North Carolina, South Carolina, Tennessee, and then different areas. The record was up to 30 inches of rain, and so many different testimonies of the people that were either woken up in the middle of the night in Asheville, North Carolina, by the winds, the trees falling, the cracking of the trees, to the rain raging and the rivers going up high. At some places, like in Del Rio, Tennessee, up to 20 feet, 25 feet high, taking people's homes with a current. So it's really crazy to see that all the devastation that took place. Even till today, three bridges haven't been completely fixed. In Cobb County, which is an hour away, 500 homes were affected one way or another, and in some cases, total loss. The houses was completely washed by the water. And like I was mentioning earlier, it's just you look at some of the things that took place, and you start to realize the need is big. There's a huge need, and it could be overwhelming, but we really need to pray and seek the Lord and see, Lord, where do you want us to go? And, you know, I believe that not only is there a huge need, not only was there a huge need and still is a huge need, but the key of it all is that it's a great opportunity. And like I said, it's the key because the Lord has called us to be salt and light, to carry out the Great Commission. And as we put it in perspective, I want to share this with you guys because let's have the mindset to not let a crisis go to waste for the Lord, as we've heard that before, right? By all these different organizations. But let's have the mindset of not letting a crisis go to waste, because it's in those times when our neighbors are going through a crisis that is the perfect time to share the Lord with them, to come alongside and be of help, to share the tangible love of Jesus Christ with them, bring hope where there's none, and being empowered, and only can be done by being empowered through the Holy Spirit to share the message that ultimately saves and changes lives. Some of the doors that the Lord opened as we've been going out there, we've helped directly over 20 families, 20 homes. We've been involved directly looking from either clean out, rebuilding, building back certain portions of the house. 20 homes, 10 in Cobb County, 1 in Carter County, 1 in Johnson County. Greene County, we've done 2. And in North Carolina, Madison County, we've served 9 different families. And as you guys know, even here coming up in a couple days, weeks, we have Pastor Mike Slack. He's going to be leading another team up to Mountain City. That's going to be a great opportunity for you guys to go and really make an impact in some of these places where nobody's going now. There's still people that are serving and helping from organizations, but not that many. And a great opportunity to serve those who are still going through the grief, the confusion, all the different emotions that come from losing all in some cases. What to expect as we share about the ministry and what the Lord is doing, there's going to be future opportunities to serve with the projects that we have going on. But even if something were to take place nearer to home, we're currently praying about going out to Kentucky with a tornado that took place out in London, Kentucky. So just keep in mind that there's going to be more opportunities to serve and as the needs arise and the Lord leads. So the question might then be, how do we get involved? Well, I would exhort you guys to go to the Calvary app if you don't have it already. On the Calvary app, it's pretty simple. You go to the app, connect on the lower tab of the app. There's going to be a relief tab and then just request to join. By doing so, you guys will be able to get some of the emails of how to some of the opportunities that are going to be available to go out and serve. But for tonight, as we wrap it up to bring it back together, I'm going to be sharing on Psalm 20. And if you guys can join me there, Psalm 20, really, as I was going through scripture, you know, I do the daily Bible, my personal reading, and it was a couple months ago as I was reading where the Lord really ministered to me through Psalm 20, because it just came to life what I was seeing out there, some of these families, what they were experiencing, what they were going through in their personal lives after the storm. But more than anything, I saw the King who answers prayers. The King who not only hears, not only does he love those who are crying out for help, but he loves to answer prayer. Why don't we start up and open up in prayer? Lord, we just cry out this morning, this evening, Lord. We thank you, Lord, for your faithfulness. Lord, you are worthy to be praised, Lord. You're so good to us, Lord. We don't deserve it. And yet, Lord, by your grace and your mercy, here we are. We receive it as a free gift, Lord. And we walk in the freedom that you give us. Freedom of sin, freedom from bondage. And Lord, the freedom to be full of joy of what you've done for us. And with that, Lord, now we can go out and share that with others. Share the hope that is in us. The hope that is in us, Lord, from what you've done. And Lord, I pray tonight as we go through Psalm 20 that you would minister to your people, that you would just through your word and your Holy Spirit, Lord, you would just minister to those who are perhaps going through similar things, storms of life, hardship, and perhaps even those who don't know you. Lord, we love you and we thank you, Jesus. You're worthy. We pray in your name. Amen. So Psalm 20, like I said, I was just reading through my own personal time. And it really ministered to me because here we have King David. This is a Psalm of David. And here we have King David. The title for the Psalm, Assurance of God's Saving Work. Think about that, the assurance of God's saving work. Who was David? I mean, we know that he was a man after God's own heart. He was a warrior. He went out to war. So we know that he definitely had those experiences, knowing that God not only was watching, But as they would step out into battle, they would realize and recognize that God not only heard their answer or heard the cry, but that he would indeed answer. So many testimonies from in the Chronicles and the Book of Kings of the different enemies that David and the leading the army would face. All the way from the bear, the lion, Goliath, the Amalekites, Philistines, Syrians. Here was David, a man who would face different enemies, leading the people of the Lord, facing different enemies, and he, more than anyone, would know how the Lord would bring that saving work as they would go out in the battlefield. We'll start in verse 1. It says, "May the Lord answer you in the day of trouble. May the name of the God of Jacob defend you." And here, as we see, you know, it's really sweet because the Lord does answer when we cry out in our day of trouble. The Lord answered David when he cried out in his day of trouble. 1 Chronicles 22 gives us insight as to why David was not going to build the house of the Lord. He had shed much blood and had fought many wars. So he had that experience. He had that firsthand interaction with the Lord, sparing him, saving him, and bringing that deliverance of the enemies. So if anyone knew about the Lord answering in time of trouble, time of war, time of testing, it was David. Like I said earlier, whether the bear, the lion, Goliath, or all the enemies of the Lord, it was David who knew that the Lord indeed was going to answer the call as he cried out to him. Regardless of the enemy, regardless of the circumstances, David knew and believed God was going to answer. The Lord knew what David was going to face and what David was facing. And not only did he knew, but he was with him. The Lord knew that David was going to face the different challenges throughout his life, and he was with him. So that poses the question for us. Do we recognize that? Whether whatever trouble we might be facing tonight, we might not be stuck in the middle of the roof waiting for a boat to come, our life being minutes away from being swept. I forgot to mention, as they were on top of that roof, neighbor went out looking for someone with a boat. They found someone. They came back, rescued Ms. Melinda, rescued the grandchildren. She then tells a story that 3 to 5 minutes later, that covered trailer where the grandchildren were standing on got swept away by the water. The Lord knew in his perfect timing, deliverance came. The answered prayer came. The same thing for us. In his perfect timing, he will send help. In his perfect timing, he will answer the prayer. May the name of the God of Jacob defend you. The second part of that verse, verse 1, we look at Psalm 46, verse 7. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. So the God of Jacob, is interesting that David here brings back the name, or rather, quotes the God of Jacob. You know, it was Jacob who brought forth the 12 tribes of Israel. In essence, David is bringing back or going back to the origin of the people of Israel. In other words, saying, Lord, you brought us this far. I am the king of your people. Believing that he wasn't done yet. Looking back at the promises the Lord did for Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. God defended Jacob when he was going to meet Esau after he wrestled with God the whole night. For us, we too can call on the name of the God of Jacob. We too can call on Jesus as we face ourselves with challenges, with problems, with hardship in the middle of the storm. We too can call on the name of Jacob. And that's encouraging. That's something that should bring joy to our hearts, to our lives, because we're not alone. It might feel like no one's coming. It might seem like we're in the middle of the storm. The water's already to our waist. We're crying out for help. Somebody help me. Somebody help me. No one's coming. But in the back, the Lord is working. The Lord is going to bring an answer prayer. verse 2, it tells us, may he send you help from the sanctuary and strengthen you out of Zion. You know, this first part here of verse 2, may he send help from the sanctuary. The sanctuary was the focus of the worship for the Israelites. That was where they would worship the Lord. And interestingly, and applicable in a sense, as we're here gathered tonight, Calvary Knoxville, as we applied and what took place from Ms. Melinda, where did her help come from? We know it was from the creator of the heaven and the earth, as the psalmist in another psalm says, but he sent help from this fellowship, Calvary Knoxville, all you guys, all those pictures, no one can take credit but the Lord. That was the Lord. And he used the body of Christ here to go and bring help to a lady, a widow, raising 5 grandchildren, whose words were, I don't know what we're going to do. I did not know until you guys came what we were going to do. We had no idea. We had nowhere to go. The Lord sent help from the sanctuary to her. And the Lord will send help to you guys. The Lord sent help to David in the middle of the battle. In the middle of the different circumstances he was facing, the Lord sent help to David. The strength of the Lord. See, it's interesting because as we may have a misunderstanding at times that the Lord saves, but that's it. That's where his work stops. But the reality is that we have to realize ourselves that not only does he save us, from ourselves, from our sin, he saves us, but then he strengthens us. He carries us through. He brings us from that merry clay that he brought us out of, and then he strengthens us. Here, may he strengthen you out of Zion. As we look what the Lord told his disciples, because the question might be, well, how is the Lord going to strengthen me? I just came to the Lord. How is he going to strengthen me? Or I've been walking with the Lord. How is he for however many years? How is he going to strengthen me? Well, we look back at the words of the Lord. Matthew 16, verses 24 and 25. And this was the Lord Jesus himself telling his disciples, if anyone would come after me, or if anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. Here we see, perhaps not answered in a clear way, but as we deny our own desires, as we lay down our lives, as we put aside what we want, we pick up our cross, we follow the Lord, and we realize what the Lord really wants us to do, because we're drawing close to the shepherd. We're drawing close to him who created us, the one who holds all the answers. We're drawing close to him. And as we follow the Lord, we're going to get those answers. So if you have that question for yourself tonight, here's perhaps an applicable way to find that answer for yourself. May he strengthen you. The second part of the verse in Matthew 16, verse 25, for whoever would save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. See, as we lay down our lives, which is the calling to follow the Lord, as we lay down our life, our dreams will die, our aspirations will die, our ambitions, what we thought we would want for our lives is going to die, but in doing so, we lay at the Lord's feet and we say, Lord, here it is. This is my life. But we'll find life in him. We'll find our freedom in him. No burden of sin, no shame, no guilt, but freedom. And that's where we find the strength of the Lord, that he may strengthen us as he strengthened David. Verse 4, may he grant you according to your heart's desire. Or excuse me, I missed verse 3. May he remember all your offerings and accept your burnt sacrifice. So may he remember all your offerings and accept your burnt sacrifice. See, it was common that before they went out into battle, they would offer a sacrifice unto the Lord, a burnt offering before stepping out into battle. So here's a picture of King David making sure that the burnt offering will be accepted by the Lord. So that means that if can be accepted, it also can be accepted. It was all according to the Levitical law. the Levitical system was the guide of whether the sacrifice was going to be accepted or not. So therefore, under the law, there was a way of making offerings to the Lord. But how about for us? How does this apply necessarily for us? Can we just come to the Lord as we are? And the answer is yes, we know that. We come to the Lord just as we are. We come to Him. But then, as we heard it many times, we come to the Lord and He catches the fish, but He also cleans it. You know, He wastes no time. And that's something that I used to struggle a lot with. Lord, this is wasting my time. Why am I doing this? Why do I find myself doing whatever? It's wasting my time. But the truth and the matter of fact is that the Lord does not waste anything. I was rebuked by a brother that I love. The Lord wastes nothing. As I find myself wrestling with that, the Lord really ministered to me. And He said, why does that matter? If you really have laid down your life, if you really trust that I'm guiding you and leading you in all these different areas, why can't I be trusted in this? As we lay down our lives, we realize that the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, is really in control of all the different aspects of our life. He wastes nothing. He wastes not a second as He's working in us. He begins to work in us. And what does He do? What does He use? His word. Through the teaching of His word, through the ministering of His Holy Spirit, and then through each other, the body of Christ. He uses the body of Christ, a living organism, Christ being the head. Many members, that's true. Feet, arms, many members, and yet so needed to work together to bring glory to the Lord. And that's the key. It's not about the particular member of the body of Christ, but rather to bring glory to the Lord as we as the body work together in unity, as we serve together, as we operate in the gifts of the Holy Spirit, the fruit of the Spirit, there's unity within the body and there's fruit. There's fruit of the Lord's work. In the book of Romans, you know, it also gives us insight when it comes to that which the Lord accepts of us. Romans 12, verse 1 and 2, it says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. You know, I was recently listening to Pastor Chuck Smith and some of the comments he would share in the conferences, and it really struck me because he used a simple two words, remain usable. Oh, that a man could be used by the Lord, right? We all have the desire in our heart, Lord, use me. I want to serve you, Lord. I want to be used by you, Lord. What do you have for me? What's my purpose? What have you created me to do? We find insight here in Romans 12. We present our bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to the Lord. Remain usable. That's my cry for myself. Lord, forgive me. Help me remain usable, that you would use me, Lord, for your glory. It's no longer I who live, but He who lives in me. May that be our cry as a body of Christ here at Calvary Knoxville. Lord, use me. Help me remain usable, Lord. Looking at Romans 12, verses 1 and 2 as a guide. We move on in verse 4. It says, may He grant you according to your heart's desire and fulfill all your purpose. You know, I think this is an interesting verse. And if I would have heard this as a new believer or even before the Lord, it's like, yes, this is it. Jackpot. Whatever I want, I can have. And we all know that's not the case when it comes to the Lord. Because as we come to Him, you know, He starts working in our heart. As we come to Him and we draw closer to Him, things have to go. And He does it like we were talking earlier in His timing. He wastes no time. He gets right to it. But things go. And He does change our heart. Makes our heart like His. He starts to work in the inner parts where perhaps no one can see, where it's dark. Those small crevices where only we and Him know. He shines the light and exposes those things in there. He shows those things to us. And now we have a choice. oh, Lord, you show me that that's there. What do I do now? Well, cast them at the cross. Lord, forgive me of my sin. That's not right. I shouldn't be doing that. I shouldn't be whatever. Cast them at the cross. And as he changes our heart's desire, as it tells us in Psalm 34, verse 7, delight yourself also in the Lord, and he shall give you the desires of your heart. As we delight in the Lord, as we seek the Lord, as we find our life in Jesus, as we're drawn to him, denying ourselves daily, picking up our cross, following after him daily, he starts to work here. He starts to change what's here. All that needs to be changed as we come to him. He starts to work in our heart. He changes it. And once he changes it, we now start having the heart of the Father. We now start having the heart of the Lord. And we start to desire those things that are the Lord's. Hence, he's already waiting to give them to us. He's already waiting there to present those things to us. As we follow the Lord, as we draw close to the Lord, our heart changes, and he will grant those desires that are in our heart because we now are following him, are loving him, and we want what he wants. And that second part of verse 4, and he, and fulfill all your purpose. He has a purpose. He has a mission that he wanted David to carry out. He had made David with a mission. Even though he was in the middle of the field with his father's sheep, the Lord was using that to prepare him for what he would eventually go out and carry out for the Lord. He was preparing David. He was working in David. And David now, as he writes this, perhaps thinking, Lord, you had a purpose. You have a purpose. You're fulfilling all the plans that you have in my life. Even when I didn't know that was going to be the case, even when I didn't see what you're doing now, Lord, since the beginning, you knew me. You knit me in my mother's womb. Psalm 139 tells us, my days are numbered, Lord. You know exactly what I'm going to face. You know that I'm going to go before a bear, a lion, Goliath, all the enemies. And as I step forward, David didn't know what the outcome was going to be. He didn't know if he was going to come out alive or not. But he went out trusting in the Lord. He went out knowing that the Lord was in control. He went out believing in the Lord. And that was a man after God's own heart. Regardless of the circumstances, regardless of the outcome, come what may, Lord, here I am. Here's my body, a living sacrifice to you. To fulfill all your purpose, he tells us here in verse 4. He has a mission for each one of us, that we may know Christ and to make him known. Easily summarized, perhaps. Philippians 3:8. Here Paul in Philippians chapter 3 summarizes it in this way. After warning the Philippians of the dogs, the evil workers, to not rejoice in the flesh, in the works of the flesh, and counting it all for cost, or counting it all for loss, rather. In Philippians 3:8, he puts it this way, yet indeed I also count all things loss for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus, my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish, that I may gain Christ. He has a mission for us. He has a purpose that we may know the Lord, that we count everything as rubbish, and we go out and share it with others. Fulfill the Great Commission. Verse 5, it tells us, we will rejoice in your salvation, and in the name of our God, we will set up our banners. May the Lord fulfill all your petitions. So here David already is rejoicing in the salvation of the Lord. In the name of the Lord, we will raise up our banners. And I can only imagine them as David is and the men are trying to getting ready to go out to war. They haven't even stepped out into the battlefield, and they're already preparing the banners of victory. They're already preparing what they believed the Lord was going to do, what they knew that the Lord was going to bring to them, which was the victory. They were stepping out in the name of the Lord. believing that he was with them, believing the promises that he had for them. The Lord made so many promises, not only to them, but to us. We have so many promises of the Lord that he has made. Do we cling on to them? Do we look at them and say, well, Lord, you can't do that in my life for whatever the reason? But no, he's made promises to you and me as believers. And as we look at promises, you know, we don't look at them as perhaps if I were to promise something, because I can not carry out the promise that I made. And often I do. I have to ask for forgiveness. Release me on my vow, brother. Often I have to do that. But the Lord, when he makes promises, he does not break them. He keeps his word. He carries out the promise in our life. And most of the time, it's on our part to hang on to those. Most of the time is because of us not believing. But the Lord is faithful to his promises. The Lord, or here rather, David, rejoicing in the salvation, setting up the banners, and believing that the Lord was going to fulfill their petitions. Ephesians 3:20 tells us, now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us, to him be the glory in the church by Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. Amen. See, he can do way more than we can orchestrate, we can think of. And at times we may face a challenge and we start to think, well, maybe if I cross that hurdle, then I sell this, I have to go dig that over there. But first I got to jump this hurdle, and that's the way the Lord's going to do it. I get it. That's the way the Lord's going to do it. But in many ways, it's not the case. Sometimes we might start to think and orchestrate certain plans. We start fabricating. I run out of English sometimes. Like, we can easily fabricate some plans for how we think the Lord is going to carry out or accomplish a certain task that it's before us. But so many times he's going to do it in a different way. He knows what he's doing. He sees it. He already knows how it's going to turn out. In his sovereignty, he already knows what he's going to do and how he's going to do it. All we got to do is continue to pray, continue to seek him, be diligent in what we're doing, and wait for his timing. That's the hard part. And we hear it all the time. Oh, wait. But really, we wait. And as we do, we don't get ahead of him. He answers. Verse 6 tells us, now I know that the Lord saves his anointed. He will answer him from his holy heaven with the saving strength of his right hand. See, David again sharing that great confidence that God will answer, God will save and rescue the king. Because as we look at this psalm, it could even be a picture of a prayer or a song for either future king or David recounting what the Lord has done, praising the Lord and how the Lord has answered his prayers in the past, and now he's writing this psalm. But whatever the case is, here we see three things in verse 6. First one is that the Lord saves, he's anointed, he will answer, implying that God not only hears and sees, but he's not silent, he answers. And the third thing we see here is the saving strength of the Lord with his right hand. He saves with power. He saves with power. You know, as I was reading this, I'm just thinking of Ms. Melinda. Lord, you saved her. There's no doubt about it. Why her and not the other 259? I mean, it's hard and we won't go there. But the Lord ultimately is sovereign, and he works all things for good for those who love him and are called according to his purposes. That's a promise that we as believers, we have. We can go back to and cling on to. Lord, I don't understand what's going on here. Lord, why is this taking place in my life right now? why did I lose it all? Why is my house down the river? See, out of all the families that we've been going out and sharing with, the testimonies of how either they left the day before the storm came, or they moved last minute to the point where if they would have stayed in the house, they wouldn't have made it. You can't deny that the Lord sees it. You can't deny that the Lord didn't nudge them to make that decision last minute to leave. We see the Lord's work. One of the other homeowners that we've been helping and serving there in Del Rio, Tennessee, tells a story that a year before the storm, he had raised his house up. I think it was like 12, 15 feet of where the house was currently at. He raised his home. And when the storm came, he started getting a report. You know what? The water's not stopping. This is in Del Rio, so the upstream is in Hot Springs, North Carolina. He was getting report before the power went out that the water was not stopping. And him and his wife, in their 70s, believers, had a decision to make. Well, we raised our home already. We could stay here and brace for impact. After all, we already raised the home. Should be good. In the last minute, they decided to leave. They went up ground. As they were there, they find themselves in a camper in the front porch. The water kept coming up. Eventually, they saw their whole house floating down the river. It was flowing by. If they would have stayed there, they wouldn't have made it. It got caught up in the bridge by Newport, if I'm not mistaken, or getting closer to Newport downstream. So not only did they see their house float down the river, but now they found themselves in the front porch, both of them, and the water was about to get over that front deck, of that camper. And as they were there, he then tells a story that him and his wife both just bowed down before the Lord. They started praying inside the camper, believing that it was going to be it. This is it. We're not making out of this. The water keeps rising up. There's still report that the water's coming and pouring in hot springs. We're not making it alive from this. So he and his wife go in. They're now praying, thinking this is it. And the husband stays inside, and as he's praying, his wife goes outside and starts yelling at him, "The water's stopping. The water's going down." They thought that was it, but the Lord had other plans. The Lord knew what he was doing. And perhaps it might feel like tonight, man, we ain't making it past this. This is it. Lord, here we are. But I tell you, just trust in the Lord. Render it to him. He's in control. He knows what he's doing. That was only one testimony of many, so many testimonies from the storm. The Lord's faithfulness. The Lord sees. The Lord knows. And the Lord answers prayer. Just here, like Psalm 6, he will answer from his holy heaven. The Lord answers prayers. We need to be reminded of that. I need to be reminded of that. Verse 7, it says, "Some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we will remember the name of the Lord our God." See, it poses the question for me personally as I was thinking this, man, do I trust in my ingenuity, my ability, my strength, my resources, modern technology, the government? Well, maybe not. But who do we trust? What and who do we put our trust in? We know the answer here. I know the answer here. It's easy. Well, we trust the Lord. We put our trust in the Lord. We believe with the Lord. It's easy because we know it. We know the answer. The hard part is here, believing it. Lord, help me believe. When the challenge, with adversity, with a trial, when the day of trouble comes, help me believe your promise, Lord, that I may believe and trust in you, not trusting in chariots, not trusting in horses, but trusting in you. And David here is interesting because that second part of verse 7, he says, we will remember the name of the Lord our God. So how do we trust the Lord? By remembering what he has done. We forget. I forget. It's easy to forget what the Lord has done up to now. But as we remember what the Lord has done in our life, from the moment of saving us, we couldn't have done that. We couldn't have done that. I couldn't have done that. I was stuck, hopeless, full of shame, guilt. There was nothing that could help me. But as we remember what the Lord has done now, personally, Lord, I see your hand. I see that you're able, you're capable. Whatever is ahead of me, Lord, I don't trust in all these different things, but I trust in you, Lord, because you alone can save. There's no other name under heaven which a man can be saved but name Jesus. And we will remember the name of the Lord. Let that be our cry tonight. Lord, we remember what you've done in my life. I remember what you did however many years ago. I remember, Lord. Let us not trust in chariots or horses. You know, Proverbs 21, verse 21:31, we know that Solomon is the one who wrote, King Solomon is the one who wrote Proverbs. So it's interesting because I only wonder and think, and I was thinking about this, because it wasn't Solomon, not that he didn't go out to war, but it tells us that his reign was going to be of peace and rest. David was the man of war. He's the one that went out to battle and fought the Lord's battle. So as we look here in Proverbs 21, it was Solomon, King David's son, who is now sharing this proverb. The horse is prepared for the day of battle, but deliverance is of the Lord. I can only imagine if when Solomon was growing up, sharing the stories after story of the Lord's deliverance as he was out in the battlefield, as he was facing different enemies. And in many cases, and even the calling for the Israelites, as they were brought out of Egypt, the Lord instructed them, tell your kids what I did when I delivered you from Egypt. That was the instruction for them not to forget what the Lord had done. As we remember what the Lord has done in our lives, let us too share that with our kids, with our friends, that we may not forget. Again, the horse is prepared for the day of battle, but deliverance is of the Lord. David went out. He was more than able, man of war, but realized that it wasn't him and his ability. It wasn't him by his power, by his strength, that was getting the victory, but rather by the Spirit of the Lord. The Lord is the one that brought that deliverance. It's not by might nor by power, but by my Spirit, says the Lord. He says in verse 8, they have bowed down and fallen, but we have risen and stand upright. Here I just have a picture in my head of being with the Lord forever, standing upright. No more sin, no more tears, forever with the King. The enemies of his bowed and fallen. Not to mock, just the reality that one day this is all going to be over. Sooner, as we see what's taking place all around us, we just see the time clicking. We see that time is running out. And whether it be tomorrow or in 10 years, one way or another, we're going to be with the Lord. And that's going to be the future for us. We have risen and stand upright with Jesus forever. That's the hope, with the Lord forever. You see, as we see what's going on around us, left and right, all these different disasters, all the wars, rumors of wars, we're well taught here at Calvary. And I just bring back to that point I made earlier. As we see the different opportunities to serve, we know the day is running, or the Lord is coming back. We see the bird pangs. Now, it's so clear and so fresh to me right now because we had our daughter a couple weeks ago. And as the birth pangs came, you know, I took out my phone and I took a picture of my wife with that first one. But then she didn't like that. But I realized that after the first one came, it was only a matter of minutes, 5 minutes I counted. And I didn't do it with any sort of intention to put it in as an analogy with the Lord's return or the birth pangs being certain distance apart. No, it was just me thinking about it. Well, I'll just see how long it takes. It was 5 minutes. Then it was three. Then it was two. And then it was 1 minute apart. You see, we see all these things taking place all around us. And perhaps the natural inclination of the flesh is to have fear, panic, worry, anxiety. But no, just like the psalmist here, recognizing that the Lord is sovereign. He is over it all. He knows what he's doing. He already told us what he's going to do. He already told us what to watch for. He's already prepared us for his coming, for the rapture of the church. We know what's going to take place. Just as he told his disciples, he prepared them to the course of the Lord's ministry for 3 years. He prepared them and told them what was going to happen. In the same way, through his word, he's already told us what's going to happen. As we see everything, that's the way everything's carrying out, we too know what's going to happen. We know the end, and we have the living hope that's like an anchor to our soul. So whatever may come, whether trouble, tribulation, storm, none of those things can separate us from the love of the Father. None of those things can take us away from his love. And as we wrap up tonight, verse 9, it tells us, "Save, Lord. May the King answer us when we call. Save, Lord." You see, whether it was that as they stepped out into battle, they were crying this out to the Lord, singing this to the Lord, not knowing the outcome, asking the Lord to answer the prayer. Answer us, Lord, when we call. We know that the Lord indeed answers. And not only can we make this application physically, the Lord will answer our calls. He will answer us when we cry out to him for any physical problem, any health issue we might have, any hardship at work, at home, friends, family. He does answer that. But I pose a question here, perhaps for somebody who doesn't know the Lord. Spiritually, you see, as we cry out to the Lord, at some point or another, we all cried out to the Lord, "Save, Lord. I'm stuck. I can't help myself. This is a burden I can't bear, Lord. The shame, the guilt, too much for me. Save, Lord." If that's you tonight, I plead with you. Answer the call and call out to the Lord. He will answer. The King answers. Whether the physical, the spiritual, the King answers. See, John 3:18 tells us, "He who believes in him is not condemned, but he who does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God." And as I read this, you know, I'm reminded of that one individual that was next to the Lord at the cross. He lived a life. He was a thief. Even at some point in the gospel, it tells that he was up to the point of being hanging on the cross. He was reviling the Lord, mocking him. But something happened. He saw something. He saw the King who stepped down from his throne. He saw the one who can save. He saw the one who gave it all. And at that cross, he realized he's different. Why would he do that being perfect? He realized that there is a King of Kings. And he cried out to him, saying, "Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom." The thief believed at the last minute But by him recognizing the lordship of Jesus Christ, he was demonstrating an act of faith in the Lord. And again, whether you're facing a physical problem, at work with friends, family, or you find yourself tonight and the Lord is ministering to your heart, I don't know you, Lord. I'm guilty. Without you, Lord, I have nothing. I'm going to stand before you one day. I'm going to give account for all the things I've done. Perhaps in the dark, but you know. Cry out to him. The King answers. Let's pray.